Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 64, stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. And what follows in 1 and 3 of 64. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Exodus, the 22nd chapter. Exodus, chapter 22, but first, and we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus chapter 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it and or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox or for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep it, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. And thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy son shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the 8th day thou shalt give it me. And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, who is able to approach unto thee? For our whole life does testify against us, and thou knowest everything outside and inside of each and every one that come to thy house, and thou commandest us, and thou also givest us this opportunity. Thou sayest unto us, return, return. But thou knowest our hearts, they have no desire to return. For we live out what our father chose, unless thou dost become too strong for us. Unless thou dost stop us and turn us again and draw us, then, Lord, we may read thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath, from day to day, public, private, and we may hear it time and again expounded unto us. But except thou dost appear with the majesty of thy Holy Spirit, except thou dost come with the power which alone thou dost have to raise a man from the dead and to turn us again, we shall go on in our form of religion, even to our own destruction, because religion is also upon that broad way. And thou knowest our hearts and the deceitfulness thereof. Unless that thou dost open to us what our deceitfulness is, then we shall deceive ourselves, as our heart does desire, in order that we may obtain all the desire of our flesh and still have a good name among our community in this world. Oh, that thou may not deal with us as our sins deserve. Lord, who can stand before thee in thy judgment seat? As we have heard in this morning hour, and we have to stand there and we have to give an account, and there is not one of us that is able to put his hand into his bosom and to take it out clean. And there is not one of us that does not stand in need of a surety for our soul. But we are so foolish and wretched that there is still in our hearts of ourselves no form or comeliness in thy Son. Thou gavest us thy word. Thou revealest that he has come into this world, sent of his Father, anointed by him to provide everything for a lost people, for a rebellious people. And still we will have none of thee. Oh, how dead and how wretched and how miserable are we in our deep fallen Adam, our covenant head. Lord, convert us. Oh, convert us unto thee, that thy power may be felt, may be experienced, and that not only for the first time, because we read in thy word time and again of thy church who did depart from thee days without number. Thou didst deliver them with thine arm and thy mighty arm out of the land of Egypt. And they rebelled against thee over and over. And thou didst have to send them even into that land of Babylon because they transgressed thy covenant. And thy servant David, and thy servant Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and every one of thy people. We can read it in thy holy word. Then they had also that wretched flesh that needed to be brought again, that needed to be restored. O Lord, we beseech thee, remember each and every one of thy people. Come thou again. Hide not the face of thy countenance and that light that shineth therefrom. O, that thou may show thyself in thy mercy to those who are guilty, and to those who are filthy and polluted, and who deserve 1,000 times that thou should cast them away from thy presence. And when in a special way thou hast shown mercy unto their soul, and then they have sinned against received grace, then what can be more provoking to thy face? O Lord, bring them again, thou who art the shepherd of thy sheep. Then we can read it in thy holy word. Thy servant like a sheep has gone astray. O, seek thy servant. Come then again and restore it, Lord, as thou alone art able to do. And wilt thou bring new ones also into that blessed fold that thou wilt preserve to all eternity, that thou wilt keep in this world, that thou wilt bring again when they have strayed from thee, that thou wilt forgive when they have sinned against thee. Oh, that thou may cause a holy jealousy to be born in the hearts of others in the midst of us, that it is a people that is cared for by thee and that is restored undeservedly into the blessed communion of that God whom they have left in paradise. Oh, that the dear Son of God, in whom thou art well pleased, that he may become
that he may become precious for the first time or by renewal, and that so sin may become so loathsome in our sight that we are not able to commit it against thee. Lord, look on each and every one. We travel to a great and a never-ending eternity, and there is nothing in man that will go out after the true and the living God. And we stand in this day before thee, who hast all the power in heaven and in earth. And we ask it of thee, that thou may come to exert a little bit of that power. Thy voice is powerful, and thy voice is full of majesty. And oh, if we could but be the instrument in thy holy fingers to bring one in this day, that they may be given to see their sin, that they may be given to know that they have to stand before the judgment seat of God, and that his eyes, they are as fire, that they might penetrate into the inward parts in this afternoon hour, and that we may go away from this place as one who is the guilty one, and that there may come a morning for sin and for guilt, that there may come a desire that we may be reconciled again, and that thy work may be evident, that it is the power that is from heaven above. Lord, do it to us and to our children. Oh, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou canst speak the word only, and then we shall be healed. Then we shall be raised from the dead. Do it for the sake of thy great name. O, hast thou not promised unto thy son a seed that shall serve him? Lord, how shall we serve him, except that thou would take us from the service of the world and from the service of the prince of darkness? Then thou canst not do it for our sake, but thou canst do it for his sake, who has paid that awful price, and who has paid it even unto the end. And was it not even to thy satisfaction, which thou didst show when thou didst raise him again from the dead? Lord, we beseech thee then, in this afternoon hour, on thy holy Sabbath day, in thy own institution, and that that power may be felt in the heart of this one or of that one, that thou may look upon all the needy, look upon parents and children, and look upon all those that have strayed away, those that have no desire anymore to hear thy truth. Oh, that thou may bring them back again, and that thou may cause them to come with weeping and with supplications, and that the strength of thine arm may be evident in those that have strayed away, and that thou may look upon all those that have needs, and that are known to thee, all those that mourn, and be with all those that have cares and concerns in families. Look upon those that rule and reign over us. O, turn us again unto thy law and to thy testimonies. And wilt thou bring our rulers to their knees, in their inner chambers and also in their public chambers, that it may be proclaimed even in the public places that we must turn again to the true and the living God. Look upon all those that rule and judge in this world, and those that must judge between man and man, as we have read also in thy holy word, and who are responsible to make a righteous judgment, to set the innocent to go free, and to condemn those who are guilty. And then in the midst of all kinds of evil in this world, the politics and the bribes, and all that seeks to overturn judgment, so that the innocent are oppressed in this world,
and who sit in the prisons. Oh, that thou may look upon each and every one of them in thy mercy, and make the truth to be brought out, and that thou thyself may bring the guilty ones to true repentance. Look on all those then that sit in the prisons, beyond their right and on their left, and may thy word also come into those places and into their hearts. And may it be even unto the ends of this world. Be with the mission fields, that thou may grant the blessing upon thy word, and that thou may look upon those that are in the midst of warfares. Supply for all that have insufficient food, drink, and clothing, and shelter. May thou be on their right and on their left, and help all those that do works of mercy in this world, and the doctors and the nurses and the caregivers. Strengthen and give them also what is necessary, that they may speak words of comfort also, and that are needful to the souls. Lord, look upon us in mercy, our school, our children and parents, and all those that do labor in that place and for our children. Wilt thou supply in the bringing up of our children, and give that in them also thy fear may be known in the days of their youth, and that they may be kept from much evil in this world, and that also in this afternoon they may be given an ear to hear and an heart to understand. Lord, help us also in the bringing of thy word. For we are of yesterday and know nothing. But wilt thou give what is needed from above, that it may be profitable for the soul of a sinner, and that it may be for the glory of thy great and holy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 334, stanzas 1 through 4. Thy word sheds light upon my path, a shining light it guides my feet. Thy righteous judgments to observe, my solemn vow I now repeat. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 334. 1 through 4. Congregation, we read of the exodus of the children of Israel. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Thus they were to borrow from the Egyptians. Children, we ask you if you think that the children of Israel had now any intention to give all of these borrowed items, these jewels of silver and jewels of gold, back unto the Egyptians. May we then borrow that which we have no intention to give back again. No, we may not do that. That is to steal. Does the Lord then command his children to steal from the Egyptians? That is impossible. That is against his own word. And what is that word? That is the commandment that we read every Sabbath again, thou shalt not steal. And that is that commandment which we wish to consider together in this afternoon out of Lord's Day 42, questions 110 and 111. Lord's Day 42, question 110. What doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? Answer, God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. Question 111, but what doth God require in this commandment? Answer, that I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further, also that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. As so far our Lord's Day. The eighth commandment, first, what God forbids in this commandment. Second, what God requires in this commandment according to these two questions and answers. The eighth commandment, first, what God forbids, what God requires. Thus, how was it now for the children of Israel as they have left this land of Egypt? Was this now theft? No. This was not theft at all. And why not in the first place? Because it was the command of the Lord. And to whom do your goods belong, and to whom do my goods belong? They belong not in the first place to us, but they belong to the Lord himself. And he is sovereign, and he may distribute those goods as he sees fit in this world. But in the second place, these Egyptians also have a great debt. And what is their great debt? Actually, They even owe their very lives. There was a time that there was a great famine in the land of Egypt. And then the Lord has provided out of His hand by the instrumentality of the children of Israel for the preservation of the very lives of the Egyptians. Who was their children? Who did the Lord send? You say, then the Lord sent Joseph, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And so the Lord has spared the lives of all of the Egyptians. And now, it was not for Israel to demand, but the Lord Himself is going to demand this recompense from these Egyptians. The Egyptians had done exactly the opposite for very many years, that they have deprived the children of Israel even of their livelihood. They have made the children of Israel very, very poor. They have made them even to be servants. They had to be slaves. They had to labor for them. Did they pay them for their labor? Certainly they did not. No, they may receive their food and drink, that they may be strong and able to build them cities. Further than this, they are under the bondage of the Egyptians. But now what does the Lord say? He says that the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are mine. And what was the promise of the Lord to Abraham concerning his seed? They would go down into the land of Egypt. They would serve the Egyptians for 400 years, and the Lord will bring them up out of that place. And the Lord has a promise for them. They shall come out of that place, we read, with great substance. Thus, people of the Lord, who is your provider? Then it may not seem as if the Lord sees everything in this world. But from now, from where now does all of your provision come? Does that come from His hand, or does that come from all of the labors of your own hands? David said, I was young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Or are you ever able now to leave all your sustenance in the hands of the Lord, that He may take it up for you? Can you make one hair white or black? And does not now the Lord know that you have need of all of the things that are necessary to come through this world? Where does that now come from? That there are rich and that there are poor people in this world. That comes from the Lord Himself. That is the sovereign will of God, and it is actually the tender mercy of the Lord that He is often withholding from His own children many of the goods that are in this world. Why? Because we read in God's Word that riches, they are a snare. And who can handle them? Not you or I, because very soon our heart is going after all these things and they are making a separation between God and our soul. Thus, the Lord will have His children to long for different possessions, that are possessions spiritual, that are possessions eternal. The Lord did never prescribe the methods of communism for the people that are in this world. That means the community of goods. It is true that we read of the apostles that they had all things common. What does that mean? That does not mean that no one may have their own property, that everything had to be shared. No, it means that the Lord has given unto the apostles a liberal heart, that they have shared their goods with everyone that has had a need. And yet we read still that there were persons that had still their own property. Boys and girls, who do you know sold some of their property, and that they may give that unto the poor? That was Ananias, you say, and Sapphira. And what does the Apostle Peter say of this? He says, while it remained, was it not thine own? While it remained, was it not thine own? That means they had no obligation that there should be a community of goods, no, but it was your own. And after that it was sold, was it not now in your own power? Then you did not have an obligation to give everything. Then you may say that you wish to give something, and then you have still that right of property that you may hold something for yourself. Thus there will be rich, and there will be poor, even unto the end of the world. As we read, the poor, they shall never cease out of the land. And it is by free gifts that the Lord will have men to take care of those that are poor, and that the poor may also be poor in spirit, without rights, thankful, as we read, to their benefactors. Is that not a blessed life? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrates. Thus it is clear that we may acquire property from others by a lawful sale, by a lawful exchange, by a lawful inheritance from one another, but to take property without the knowledge and without the consent of another is sin. And that is not beginning with those things that are great, but that is beginning with those things which are the very smallest. Children, then very often a thief that is sitting in the prison, he has not begun to steal when he has become a man, but he has begun to steal when he was already a little child. Thus it has begun most often in the very small things. And then very little by little, when they are not found out, then they are becoming more and more confident in this stealing, to take what belongs to someone else. And then it is something which is increasing in its magnitude, until that a man is landing himself in the prison. But our catechism actually goes further, doesn't speak only about gross acts of theft, but we read it condemns all wicked tricks, devices, whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods that belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God. Thus Satan is very, very sly. Satan is sly in his temptations, and you and I are under the dominion of Satan by nature. And they're not only under his dominion, but we have a heart that is corrupt, a heart that is deceitful, thus a heart and that is one with that way of Satan. And then our fathers speak about force, and force that is not always possible. And when we are not doing these things by force, then very often we are doing these things by deceit. And as our fathers say, under the pretense of right. Thus, wrong is of Satan, right is of God. Under the pretense of right, under the pretense of being of God, to do evil. Thus, there is here a double evil. When we are hiding that sin under the pretense of walking in a just and in a right way. And we have read together how that the Lord is very, in a special way, abhorring this sin when it is committed against those who are poor. Because the poor, though they shall never cease out of the land, they have a special place even in this world, in a way of common grace, that the poor have a very special place in the eye of the Lord. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day that thou shalt give him his hire, neither shalt the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. Thus that poor, he is not to be paid unfairly, neither is the poor to have to wait for his wages, neither are men to lend unto the poor as they lend unto their brethren. Thus usury that is permissible, usury or gathering interest from our money, but that is not permissible, then we are lending unto the poor who have not sufficient even to purchase the necessities of this life, and then they ought not have to borrow from us with interest. Thus the Lord is taking special care of the poor. However, we also read how that we are not either to steal from those who are rich, because they are rich. What wicked hearts we have, because we will attempt in our thievery somehow to justify ourselves with all kinds of excuses, that he has plenty and that we can use it much more than he can use it, and that he will never miss this little bit because that he has so much more. But what has been given unto him, even that small amount that has been given unto him from the Lord, thus it remains his possession, and there is no excuse from stealing from the rich, even as we may not steal from the poor. And even our necessity in this world does not give to us a right to transgress this commandment of the Lord. That is, when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, it is true, then with such we have compassion, because men do not despise a thief when he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry, but when he is found, he shall restore a sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Thus before the Lord, then even in our necessity, Then where does man belong? Not in the transgression of the commandments of the Lord, but upon his knees, that the Lord may give to him what he stands in need of, that he need not take it without right. It is possible that we steal in other ways, however, young people, it is possible that we steal also time. The time of our employer, when you labor for him, that you are wasting away his time, and that time for which he is paying you. Solomon says, he that is slothful is brother to him, and that is a great waster. And then it is one thing to be slothful on our own time, and it is another thing to be slothful on the time of our employer. We know also the evil that the workers' unions have brought into this world. Not that in the beginning there was a certain justification for their existence, because also it is possible that the employees are not rightly dealt with. However, it is not the place of an employer to gather one with another and to stand of an employee to stand together against their employer. No, the Lord gives to an employee his place. As we read in God's word, the Lord also gives to a wife her place. As the Lord gives to a citizen his place. That is, when there is oppression, and that such ones are found on their knees, begging him who has the heart of every man in this world in his own hands. Call upon me, he says, in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and then thou shalt glorify me. And how often is the Lord not pleased to bring a man so into such a position in this world that in his need he might cry to God, and that he might experience in his life that the Lord, he is the living God. Our fathers say, under the appearance of right, what does Solomon say? It is not, saith the buyer, and when he goes his way, and then he boasteth. Thus, how is it, congregation, when we will come in the court, as we have heard in this morning, and when we will stand before that judge? We can read in the book of Revelations, his eyes, they are as a flame of fire. And then they are penetrating even to the thought and the inmost desires of our hearts. It is not. And thus we are crying down the value of our neighbor's goods, that we may obtain them at an unfair price. But it is all seen by the Lord, even as David's sin was seen by the Lord. Then on the other side, we have poor workmanship and selling of merchandise that is not worth that value for which we are receiving. Unjust weights, ells, and measures, so it was in former days. But within our own monetary system, then that fraud that is the same today as it was in those days, the wicked borrowing and paying not again. Thus, how is it for us when we will be standing in that judgment seat, when we will be standing in that court, and when that all-seeing God, when he shall lay out before us what the sin of our hearts and what the sin of our life is? Then are there any that come in this day before that court of the Lord, before that day of our death, and before that day that we have to stand before him? Are there any that come in this day to say that I am guilty before the Lord? How much thievery is not taking place, congregation, in our courts, when men are suing one another for amounts of money? and that are so far above that which is right. And we can now read, and we have read together, how that the Lord also does require of a man, and that he is making a recompense unto his brother. And thus it is not always wrong that we are seeking out the judges of the land, but rather when we have one thing over against our brother within the church, that we are setting those that are least in the esteemed in the church to judge between us. How is it then, congregation, in our businesses? How is it in our homes? How is it with our tax forms? Oh, what will the Lord do? What will happen to a man when the Lord will convert him and when the Lord will give the tender fear of God in the heart of a man? What do you think will happen already when we are young children? Oh, then we will not think to steal from our father, from our brother, from our sister. No, because God's word that speaks also about a son or a daughter who is stealing from his father and from his mother, and that he is saying that it is no transgression, that it is no transgression. And he says, such are the companions of destroyers. And how is it, congregation, when our heart testifies against us? Or do we give back those things then that we have found also along the way that belong unto our neighbor, and that we know whose that they are, that we are returning unto our neighbor that property that is lawfully given to them of the Lord? How is it when we know that goods are stolen on the black market, and that we are buying them from such as have stolen them? We read together in God's word of those who are also stealing even from the Lord himself, because the Lord has required of his own children a portion that will go unto him. Then he has required all of his children that they will bring the tithe into that house of the Lord. Thus that is no longer belonging unto us, but it is belonging unto the Lord himself. And there was a portion, and that belonged unto the Lord also when the children of Israel came into that land of Canaan. And Achan wanted to take that unto himself. But we see how what the judgment of the Lord was upon such a sin when a man would dare, even as Ananias and Sapphira, to lie unto the Holy Ghost. Then how is it when a man would dare to steal even that portion which the Lord says belongeth unto himself? Our fathers mention covetousness, and we hope to consider that later in the 10th commandment, but that covetousness, that is, congregation, now the root, that is the root of this entire sin of thievery. Thus this sin is something which is coming out, that is proceeding from the evil that is laying within our heart, that we desire to have that which the Lord has not given unto us, and that we are not content with that portion that the Lord has reserved to us and to our children. Thus there is an order also, an order in the way of sin, that it is first our eye that is laid upon that forbidden good, and that it is our mind and that it is our heart that is desiring to have it. And finally, it is our hand that is being put forth unto this evil. Therefore, how much sin that has not taken place already before that deed has actually been committed in this world. As also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. then what is our heart's desire? Our heart's desire is really to live an extravagant lifestyle. Oh, then our heart's desire is that we may have more and more in this world, and sometimes we are going above and beyond our means in our lifestyle in this world. But congregation, how is it really in our whole life? Because when our fathers here speak of all abuse and waste of his gifts, then what can we say? What is now the purpose of those gifts that God has given to you and to me? And are we using now those gifts that God has given to us in a way that the Lord himself has not meant those gifts to be used? Is that not something that we receive food and drink in the morning? When yesterday, and then we have done nothing but sin with that food and drink that he has given to us. And yet it is appearing day by day upon our tables. Is not then the Lord so long-suffering unto us with all the provision that he is providing for us in this world? And is it now ever a wonder to us that the Lord now continues to bless us with our children despite what our life and what our heart is? Yes, we cry unto the Lord in the day of our trouble. And the Lord, he hears our cry. And he answers and he blesses and he gives once again the necessities. No, he gives the prosperity unto us and to our children. And then we turn away from him again. Or how long would we so permit our children to deal thus with us? And how long would we permit our neighbor to so deal with us? But are we doing with the time that the Lord has given to us in this world? To seek the ways of vanity, to seek all of this world? Oh, does not drowsiness clothe a man with rags? With no desire after our Creator, our Maker not only, but no desire after our Provider. In whom we live and we move and we have our being? Oh, is our life in any way profitable unto God? Do we live in any measure? Do we live in the smallest measure in our life to his honor and to his glory? No, outside of grace, we are wasters and we are abusers of all of those gifts of God. And how is it even within the church of God? Is that church now also not in transgression? And what congregation is then required of us? Let us sing Psalter 97, 1, 3, and 4. A little that the righteous hold is better far than wealth untold of many wicked men. Destroyed shall be their arm of pride, but they who in the Lord confide shall be upholden then. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 97. Thank you. But what doth God require in this commandment? Answer, that I promote the advantage of my neighbor. In every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also, that I faithfully labor, and so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Thus that I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may. Cain, he asked, am I my brother's keeper? And congregation, is that not now so often the way we live? Even as Cain, that we ask, am I my brother's keeper? And yet the Lord in his word, he says that every man ought not to look only upon his own things, but also upon the things of others. Thus, yes, we are responsible for our neighbor. No, not for everything. That is, that we are not required to give now unto our neighbor those things that the Lord has given unto us for our necessities and for our children. But it speaks about it being in a position to do good, being in a position to help those that are needy. Peter writes, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another. Hear what the Lord commands his people. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. And thou shalt in any case bring them again to thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh thee, or thou know him not, then shalt thou bring it to thine own house. And it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. What does that mean, children? That means that if that ox or sheep is gone astray and we don't know to whom it belongs, we have to bring it home and we have to take care of it. We have to take good care of it until someone comes to seek it, and then we can give it back to him again. What does that mean? That means to promote the advantage of my neighbor. Also to be applied to every circumstance, congregation, of our life. And then not only to the goods of our life, but also to the name of our neighbor, the honor of our neighbor, the credit of our neighbor. David did wrong when he allowed Ziba to take that credit, to steal that credit that belonged to Mephibosheth. Because all those gifts, they came out of the hand of his master, and Ziba would take, he would steal that credit unto himself. And David, as the judge, ought to have looked further into this case. That was his responsibility. To promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and that I deal with him as I desire to be dealt with. That is actually such a simple thing, is it not, for us simple people? What did the Lord Jesus say? That he says, therefore, all things soever that we would that men should do unto you, even do ye so to them. Thus, it is only one simple question. When we don't know how to act, then we can ask that question, how would I like my neighbor to do it to me? And then we know exactly what we have to do. What a world then we would live in. And when every man would so ask after the way that the Lord commands us, further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Thus, congregation, what is the purpose of our labors? that I may that further also that I faithfully labor, so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Why are we laboring? We labor because we want to have more and more in this world? Or do we labor that we may come through this world and that we also may help the needy to come through this world? Thus, how is it with our liberality to the poor? Because the Lord says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Thus, when we scatter, then it seems like we throw it all away. And yet, he says, it is increasing. And then there is that withholdeth more than is meet, and yet it tendeth to poverty. Thus, holding on, we will not do that, young people. Farmers, they will go now into the fields, and if they will hold on to all that seed, and they will not scatter it in the field, then they can expect no increase. But what is now the way to increase? That is to throw it all away. That is to seemingly throw it all away. That we are scattering it in that field. What does the Lord say? The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that waters, he shall be watered also again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thus, congregation, what does Paul say now? By the law is the knowledge of sin. And you and I, we will be coming into that court. And now we have spoken a little of this next commandment of the Lord. How is it in that court? How is it before the judge? How is it with God's law? Does God's law point us out? If not in the deed, does it point us out in the thought and in the intent of our heart? What must we now do when that law does condemn us? Well, we read in God's word how that the Lord is commanding man to make restitution for this sin. That is not always possible. And because it is not always possible, that ought to make us more fearful to sin this sin. Because stealing, that is always against my neighbor. And then sometimes my neighbor is passing away before that I am able to make restitution unto him. And therefore there can be from his side no forgiveness expressed unto me. And thus immediately we ought, when these things testify against our conscience, to make confession and to make restitution again. That is not easy. That means we need to admit we were wrong. It means we need to admit that we have sinned against him. That is shameful. We like to hide it. No one knows it. He does not know it. He does not miss it. And therefore, I will just leave it be. But where is it? It is on your conscience. And it is on your list of accountability before God. When you will come into that court, and when the Lord would convert you, what do you think is going to happen? What happened to Zacchaeus? Then he came to the Lord, and he showed what the fruit of that true conversion is. And that fruit of true conversion, that is within the heart, that is showing now in my life. When I have taken anything from any man, he says, I am restoring it unto him fourfold. Thus, restitution. And that will be the way of the working of the Spirit of the Lord in the heart of a man. Thus, that is according to that holy word of God. But we do not need only to be forgiven by one another. Because what is sin against my neighbor, that is sin against the Lord. And thus I also need another forgiveness. Is now not a wonder that we read in God's word that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what do we read of that very mediator? We read of him that he restored that which he took not away. Thus he did not take away that communion between God and the soul of his creature. He did not take away the life of man. No, that was Satan who has gone in to rob from man all those gifts that God had given to him in the creation. That was Satan who has come with his temptation, that he might make men to fall, that he now may come in the disfavor of the Lord, and that the wrath of God may be laying upon his people. And what was the work of that mediator? Then he says, I restored, not which I took away, but I restored that which I took not away. That he has restored the life that he took not away. That he has restored the honor which he took not away. That he has restored the communion that he took not away. That he has restored the favor that he took not away. That he has restored the possessions that he took not away. Oh, does he give then all the possessions that we desire in this life? No, they are not the possessions that he is restoring unto his people. No, it is that they may come through this life with those necessary possessions in this world, each one given to God as talents in this world in his own wisdom, and then giving unto that church a possession that is far above all the possessions here below, possessions which cannot be stolen, possessions where thieves they break not through to steal, possessions that cannot rust away, but possessions that will last to all eternity. Then what is our life? Oh, when we seek all the possessions of this world, and when we obtain them all in this world, then we also have to try to protect them. Then we have to try to keep that thief from breaking in to steal them. But when the Lord has given that possession of a new heart, boys and girls, young people, when the Lord has given this possession in our heart, then we do not have to worry about anyone breaking through to steal it from us. And we do not have to worry that it will be lost either by the devices of the prince of darkness, because the Lord himself, through all the tribulation of the devil, he will never forsake the work of his own hands. And so he will bring that people into that final possession of glory, where eye hath not seen or ear heard what is laid away for that people. Amen.
Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless thy word, and wilt thou give us to seek that portion, and not all that is here below, oh, give us. And that holy jealousy, young and old together, and forgive our many sins. Bring us safely to our homes. Keep us the rest of this day, that we may keep thy Sabbath day holy. And wilt thou thyself bless thy word, that it may be the thought and the meditation of our hearts. Bring us with desire to be together also in the midst of this week, when we hope to gather to commemorate the death of thy only begotten Son, and that great price that he has paid for the sin of his people. Oh, give us then a need to be dwelling in our heart, that there may also be comfort for thy people. Forgive all that was sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 356, 2 and 3. And no scepter of oppression shall hold unbroken sway, lest unto base transgression the righteous turn away. Thy favor be imparted to godly men, O Lord. Bless all that are pure-hearted, the good with good reward. 2 and 3 of 356. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.